Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
Are you ready for another round of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics? Welcome, new listeners. We're glad to have you. You're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I'm your host, Ed Holliday, and you're listening to us on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net, and we will tell you things here you won't hear anywhere else. This election, we're getting down to about 3 months left to go. And we need you every week listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics so you'll know what to do to make sure this country gets turned into the right direction. So without any further ado, let me tell you what's going on in today's show. Last week, we had United States Senator Roger Wicker on, and we did part one of the interview. Part two is coming up. If you didn't listen to last week's, make sure you go back and listen to last week's show. Check out the archives, and you'll be glad you did. Now, let me tell you what else. We got Dr. Kip Van Camp. He's a physician, author, and he's going to talk to us about Obamacare from a physician point of view. So that's coming up in just a few minutes, and you don't want to miss that. You know how much we talk about Obamacare now that the Supreme Court has approved it. We have got to listen about what's going to happen if we don't get the whole country involved to make sure we stop this train in its tracks on November 6th. And we'll talk more about that. And another thing I want to tell you about is this week's Tombstone of the Week Award. It goes to the United States Senator Dianne Feinstein and what she said. And we're going to be talking about freedom of speech. Do we have freedom of speech? Well, we'll see if the Democrats have freedom of speech. Wait till we get to the Tombstone of the Week Award coming up at the end of the show. And this week, we're going to skip the Rock Splitting Obama fact. In fact, we're going to start tying that into the election news update. And this week's election news update is very important to listen to, especially our friends in the state of Texas, because we're going to talk about an important primary in the Republican Party coming up, and you need to get out and vote for Ted Cruz. We're going to talk about that in the election news update coming up shortly. So, wow, we got another show packed in, and we're so glad to have you here right here on webtalkradio.net. And there's one thing I've said before. America, we are stuck between Barack and a hard place. Yes, that's right. We're stuck between Barack and a hard place. But don't fear, because Rock Splitting Politics will give you just what you need. And I feel like this. That's right. We're going to be a sledgehammer. That's right. We're going to be a sledgehammer, rock splitting politics. We're going to break up an administration that thinks it's going to get four more years. It's time to break it up. And it's time now to get involved with that. And we're going to talk about in this week's election news update what you need to do. And that is all our friends and listeners out in the great state of Texas. It's time to go to the Republican primary July 31st. This week, and make sure you vote for Ted Cruz. That's right, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We are backing Ted Cruz in the runoff for the United States Senate Republican nominee for the state of Texas. Now, he's running against the establishment lieutenant governor, and Ted Cruz wasn't given much of a chance a few months ago, but he's coming on strong, and thanks to you, our listeners, and conservatives, we are going to help Ted Cruz get in there. So make sure you get out to vote, all our friends in Texas. And You can go to Freedom Connector, like I've told you before. You can go to Freedom Connector, and you can make some phone calls for Ted Cruz. And now I've been pushing Ted Cruz, and I've been making calls and helping out because I want this country to get turned around, and we need somebody like Ted Cruz that got the guts to stand up along with Rand Paul, Senator Rand Paul, and Senator Lee, Senator DeMint, and we need to get him in the United States Senate. So get out there and vote if you live in the state of Texas, and help him out, everybody in other states. So that election news update is very important. You don't have to wait to November 6th to get involved this week. Get involved in helping Ted Cruz win the nomination out in Texas for the United States Senate on the Republican Party. Listen, election news update is something that I'm going to tell you things you won't hear anywhere else. And one of the things that I need to tell you about is what this Obama team is doing. They are actually ruining that every Democrat that thinks they have freedom of speech. It's not working. And I'm going to tell you more about that when we come up to the Tombstone of the Week Award. So you don't want to miss that at the end of the show. So I'm going to tell you about what we've talked about before on this show. But Senator, United States Senator Dianne Feinstein from California, she said something and she was taken to the woodshed. And we're going to talk about that in this week's Tombstone of the Week Award. And now we're going to get to our guest, who's an author, and he's a physician, and he's written a book that I want you to know about, and we're going to talk about some Obamacare. So welcome to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Dr. Kip Van Camp.
Thanks, Doc. It's good to be on your show.
Well, last week's show, we had U.S. Senator Roger Wicker talking about Obamacare. And he brought out a lot of points that basically our backs are up against the wall. If we don't change things this election in November, we will be a European socialist state, basically. In your view of Obamacare, do you see anything different from that?
No, I do not. I totally agree with that. You know, doctors have been busy in the trenches. We work a lot of hours. Most doctors work 60 to 70 hours a week, and so we don't have time to get politically active. And so we have trusted in the past our politicians and thought they would take care of things, but unfortunately they haven't done so, suffering the consequences with very bad legislation.
Well, Dr. Kip, one of the things that it's over 2,000 pages, Obamacare, and we can get in details and all kind of pages, but what really gets at the heart of things to me is people don't understand how this is going to drastically change health care. I know Congressman from Georgia, Dr. Tom Price, physician, and he was saying we did not give people health care. What we gave them was a ticket to stand in line. I'd like for you to address some of the things that you know from a physician standpoint. Remember, Nancy Pelosi said this Obamacare is going to make jobs, and yet I know so many practitioners are saying they're going to have to look at cutting staff for Obamacare when it takes effect. How do you see that?
Oh, I totally agree. It's going to be a ticket to stand in line. I think these health exchanges that are being developed in every state, which is the state answer to the uninsured, it's going to be going to get your tags for your car, and everybody knows how inefficient that is. So there's a line you'll be standing in. If you come to the doctor, there's more patients being dumped into the system that are currently uninsured, and we don't have the manpower to meet all the needs, and so you'll be standing in line, or you'll see instead of seeing a doctor, you'll see a nurse practitioner or a physician's assistant. That's not a dig or an attack at them. They certainly do a very good job, but they're not the doctor. If they were, they would have gone on to medical school and done a residency and extra training and all of that, and they haven't. So you'll either see a mid-level or a provider. They've tried to change the moniker for doctors. They've changed us from being doctors to providers, which is somewhat offensive to doctors, that we spent all those years getting educated. Now we're supposed to be a provider because they don't want the American people to be able to discern the difference between a PA, an NP, or a primary care doctor.
That's a good point.
Rationed. If you come to your doctor and you say, I have a very bad knee, you'll have to, and the doctor says, I want to get it just a plain film x-ray. I want to do an x-ray. It'll have to be approved. Now, that's already true in many insurance companies, but the approval process will be much more laborious. There will be mounds of paperwork to do. You'll have to go through several committees to get that approved.
And then,
approved, it'll be several weeks before you get that x-ray.
I was going to say, you had to stand in line again, won't you? One line to another line.
X-ray's fine. We need to get an MRI scan. It'll be another 6 to 8 weeks to get the MRI scan. Now, let's take that same case one step further and say you need a knee replacement. Now it's going to have to be approved by a committee of bureaucrats who say, yes, you can have your knee replacement, or no, you can't. I mean, that's what we're going to be seeing. That's the reality of where we're going.
And it's scary to think about how many people that, like you said, all of a sudden they call, who can be a provider? Anybody can go to a weekend course and be a provider or something. And
yeah, that's the truth.
And, you know, we're laughing a little bit, but it's so scary when you think about this. It's everybody talking about their health care. What happens when somebody's 80 years old and they find out they get a diagnosis of breast cancer or some kind of cancer? Do you treat them or do you not treat them?
Well, this is what we'll do. We'll take the cheapest treatment, and if they respond, fantastic. And if they don't, we'll say, get your affairs in order, basically. We'll also do that for the disabled or the handicapped, the less fortunate. Let's say that someone has a Down syndrome child and they need all that treatment that they get, mm-hmm. or a handicapped child, imagine that. We'll be making decisions. We'll be making, they call it a death panels, but it's even worse than that. It's really a course in ethics. You know, it's that old humanistic, if you're in a boat and you've got, you know, rations for 9 people, but right. There's 8 people in the boat, who are you going to throw overboard? You know, those old humanism exercises we used to talk about in school.
Yeah.
That's kind of the situation we're up against. Are we going to say, okay, this group of people will not receive the treatment that they used to get
and
because
so that,
they can't afford it? When you look at cost, people say, well, we have a problem with cost. The cost is out of control, and I would agree with that.
Right.
But there's some real simple solutions. The medical profession didn't cause the cost problem. Doctors certainly have their part to blame in the multifaceted problems that our current system has, but it's still the best in the world. But if you step the government out, step the regulations out, we'll just use an example of cosmetic surgery. If you go in for any cosmetic surgery and it's elective, in the last 15 years, the price of cosmetic surgery has come down. If someone goes in for a breast augmentation surgery, the price has come down over the last 15 years, whereas everything else is going up. Why is that? It's because of regulation and government intervention.
See, that's what nobody realizes, that the cost of cosmetic surgery has gone down because the regulations are out of it. Insurance doesn't cover that.
That's exactly right. Free market works. It always works. That's why if you go to buy a car and you can go across the street and buy one for less, you're going to buy the same car for less. Because competition works, and the guy across the street that's charging more is going to figure out, I got to lower my prices.
Well, one thing I want to touch on when we're talking about the number of people served, and they're talking about increasing the Medicaid rolls drastically, and speak to the point that there's so many practices that they may see Medicaid, but that's not, you know, that's just, that doesn't even pay the bills hardly.
No, it's a very inefficient system. If a doctor is an internist and he charges $150 an hour for a consult, which is probably not out of line for what an hour-long consult takes. And if you've ever been to an internist and had one of those one-hour-long consults, you know that it's pretty darn thorough. It's pretty extensive.
Right.
If that same doctor is a Medicaid provider and they see a Medicaid patient, Medicaid oftentimes will pay 10%, so they'll get a $15 reimbursement for that. For that hour of their time.
And that won't pay anybody's jobs. Right.
And then the answer in Obamacare is to take the uninsured and put them in the Medicaid rolls. So now we're going to have expanded Medicaid. Have you ever heard a patient or ever heard a doctor say, I love Medicaid, don't touch my Medicaid?
I've never heard it.
No one has ever heard that. I've never heard it come out of any Medicaid patient's mouth. My own brother-in-law has been on Medicaid, and he says it's awful, just awful, because of all the... First, you can't find a doctor who will accept you. Secondly, everything's delayed, so it takes weeks or months to get into the system. And then lastly, you never know what the right hand and left hand are doing, so there's a lot of duplicated tests. No one ever communicates well to know what's going on. Medicaid is very inefficient. It doesn't work.
And then there's another paperwork. I know of just now, because of Obamacare passing, a lot of insurance companies where they used to give away, help out people in need and the poor, with free medications and drugs and through free clinics, and now they're making people go to the Medicaid place and get a paper form saying they've applied for Medicaid, can't get it. I mean, we're just talking about increasing paperwork from all over, and it's just, you know, it hasn't even started yet.
Well, the Congressional Budget Office has said that this plan to fully implement will be between $2.6 and $3 trillion. We can't afford that. We already are, what, $15 to $17 trillion worth of debt. I heard an economist say, if you really look at that, that's actually about $60 trillion, because we have to look at the servicing that debt and all the interest paid and of the years of trying to pay the interest. And it's probably equivalent to a $60 trillion. So it would be like having a note on your house for $150,000, and you end up paying, when it's all said and done, $300,000. And why is that? It's because of the interest. Well, they're saying if you look at the interest on $17 trillion, it's equivalent to $60 trillion. Now, how is America going to add another $3 trillion for health care? Something has to give. The producers in this, I've heard it said if you took all the wealth in the country, everybody's income and salary, you'd get a 37 days worth of paying our debt.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's true, but that's what I've read and heard. So we can't afford this. It's not a solution. It is not a solution.
And we're pointing out just some basic flaws. And I mean, and we've got 2,000 pages of flaws in the whole healthcare complex bill that's there. But one of the things, now you got a book. Tell me about the book called Misdiagnosis.
Well, I've written two books. My first book was a pet book. It was about a dog that we had that was our first daughter, our furry daughter.
Okay.
My wife and I had children. And so that gave me the experience and the background to write. And so when the Obama plan was passed, I heard a radio interview with Milton Wolf, who is a radiologist who is the president's cousin, and he lives in Kansas City. And he was talking about a little seven-chapter book that he wrote. I think it's seven chapters. And so I ordered that book and looked at it, and I said, I can do as well as this. And so I started doing my research. And after I'd done my research and found out all the things I found out and was just absolutely shocked, I said, I got to write this book. I can't stand on the sideline and throw stones unless I'm going to jump in and actually try and make a point about it or do something about it. So I wrote the book. So the book is a very practical, pragmatic look at how did we get here, what's wrong with our current system, what caused the mess that we're in, do we really have the best healthcare system in the world, or are the statistics tainted? Because they'll tell us we have the 42nd life expectancy and 37th infant mortality of the United Nations countries. Then I said, okay, here's what's in the Obama plan, and then here's some solutions, here's a better solution. So I think anyone who would get this book and look at this book, it's a $15 book, they would say, wow, are you kidding me? I had no idea. I think it would be an eye-opener. I mean, I don't hold back. I don't take it. It's critical of both Democrats and Republicans. It's critical of Congress and how did we get where we are, and why did they pass this thing? It's also critical. It takes a look at where did the doctors, what is our part in this, what's the insurance company's part in this, who's to blame for how we got to where we are. And that's just a practical look at the healthcare problem and then some solutions.
Well, Dr. Kipp, I appreciate you writing that book, and I appreciate you coming on the show. And if somebody wants to check out your book, you got a website they can check out?
Sure. There's two ways to get it, or probably more than that, but two easy ways to get it. Either Amazon, and you can buy it as a Kindle, or order the book and it'll be shipped to you. Or you can go to drkipp.com. That's D-R-K as in Kansas, I as in Igloo, P as in Peter, P as in Peter.com. And then that, so the D-R is Dr. Kipp, D-R Kipp.
Well, Dr. Kipp, one of the things, you're trying to open up people's eyes, and so many people are. What do you see in the medical community between now and the election? You think people are going to support Barack Obama or Mitt Romney or just not vote?
Well, the people are calling Romney the anti-Obama candidate, and that's probably true. You know, I think America's pretty jaded about any politicians right now. But I'll tell you this. President Obama made it really clear that he wanted a European-style healthcare system. His plan says that, basically. He has said that about his philosophy of governing, And I don't think Americans want to be Europe. We left Europe originally because we didn't want to be Britain. So why would we now want to go back and become Europe? That's what's made America such a great country. It's the free market and the capitalism that we live under. That's what made America what it is.
And that was Dr. Van Camp, and he got it right. And I'm going to give you a couple of nuggets to reiterate a couple of important parts that Dr. Van Camp told us about. Before I do, let me remind you, you're listening to us on webtalkradio.net. And this is Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I'm your host, Ed Holliday, and we're glad to have you on. And listen, our new listeners, feel free to go back to the archives. Great shows back there. And I want to tell you, we're going to get to part two of our interview with United States Senator Roger Wicker. And we'll get to that in just a moment. And if you didn't listen to it last week, go back and listen to it, because he had a great interview. We followed up on that with some of our talk with Dr. Van Camp. And before we get to United States Senator Roger Wicker's second part of the interview, let me just remind you that we have some good friends over at the Official American Standard Playing Cards. And they believe the foundation of this nation is strong. Their mission is for America to have her own playing cards while sowing the seeds of liberty. You can get yours today. To learn more, go to my homepage and look in my Doc Recommends section, or you can just click on their ad, also found on my homepage. And you'll be glad you did. So go check out our good friends there at the Official American Standard Playing Card. Before we listen to the second part of my interview with Senator Wicker, let me tell you a couple of great nuggets from Dr. Kip Van Camp. And his book is called Misdiagnosis, and you can check that out on a website we told you about. But a couple of things in his talk we had. Number one, when he said, have you ever heard of a medical doctor saying, oh, I can't lose my Medicaid reimbursements? The reason why is Medicaid does not pay the bills. And when you talk about Obamacare increasing by great multitudes, millions of people on the Medicaid rolls, that's not something doctors are looking forward to. In fact, they'll have to cut staff, and they'll have to see more people for less income coming in to support an office. Is that going to increase the health care in America? Is it going to make it better? I don't think so. Another thing he said was when he was talking about Obamacare and what it would do is the fact that, again, you're going to have to go through committees to get things done. It's somewhat already that with insurance companies, but when the government gets a hold of it, how much better would that be? Yeah, that's right. Think about it. Committees just to go get an MRI. Committees just to go get an x-ray. Committees to approve if you can get a drug or not. Bureaucracy. It's growing, and it will be a Frankenstein that we cannot get off our backs if we don't stop it November 6th. So let's get right on with an interview with Senator Wicker. Senator Wicker, are we going to have to increase the national debt limit again?
Actually, I don't see any way to avoid a vote on that. I think it will probably occur after the election. The answer, I think, is what Speaker Boehner required last time, is the savings that are attached to any bill like that need to exceed the amount of increase in the debt. Otherwise, we're just adding on to that. I think a lot of us are reluctant to shut the government down and not pay our servicemen and not keep our promises on Social Security. And for that reason, we'll probably have to deal with this a couple more times before we can get the budget balanced again. When I was a freshman in 1995, mm-hmm. we said we would balance the budget in 7 years, and basically what we were saying is we're going to have to increase the debt for seven more years, and then we won't have to do that again.
What happened?
What happened is when we put the plans in place, we actually balanced the budget in 3 years.
Right.
And because then the economy started to grow, and so we got some of the deficit taken care of. Through our budget cuts, and a lot more of the deficit taken care of through growth. And we kept a balanced budget till September 11, 2001, when the terrorist attacks came and we had to go to war in Afghanistan. That's when we lost our balanced budget, and we need to get it back.
Do you think we can get it back? Do you see any way?
From the painful lessons of the past.
But do you think there's any hope to get a balanced budget back in the next 4 years?
I do believe this. I think we need a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution. We came within one vote of doing that back in 1997. One vote would have sent that to the states for ratification. I think if ever we needed a workable balanced budget amendment, it is today. So I think we can get back there. But what we're going to have to do, Doc, is we're going to have to slow the growth rate in health care. I'm not willing to say by December of 2012, Medicare, elderly Medicare patients are going to have to fend for themselves to a larger extent. I'm not going to put the public in panic like that. We're going to have to do it. And like I said, we did it in about 3 years, the last time we really put our minds to it. We're going to have to put some policies in place that slow the growth rate of health care. And I think you do that through market forces. And then when we moderate the growth in health care, that will go a long way to help us slow the growth rate of Medicare, because the cost of Medicare goes up when health care goes up. So if it were easy, we would have done it a long time ago. The thing that troubles me is this last 3 or 4 years, we've been going exactly the opposite direction with the multi-$100 billion bailout of the banks, with the stimulus package that lost us $1 trillion but didn't create one single job, and with this huge, expensive health care program of Obamacare, we've been going the opposite direction, and it's just a total myth for them to say that these things are going to help balance the budget.
Well, that's what they keep saying. I still sit here, the president say it's going to, you know, when the president and Democrats say it's going to help balance the budget, I mean, nobody seems to be calling them out from the media on that.
Well, they ought to be, we ought to all be turning on our ridicule machine. It's just, it's utterly ridiculous to think that somehow the next 4 years are going to be better than the last 4 years if we have the same policies in place. Well, and frankly, we're going to have a policy in place, unless we can repeal Obamacare, that is just, you're not going to be able to even imagine how expensive that is. You know, we were told when Medicare first came in to be a relatively inexpensive program.
Mm-hmm.
Well, regardless of how you feel about the merits, expensive by tenfold, twentyfold over what it was projected to be. So anytime you do a big government program, you're just making matters worse. So let's stop the digging. Let's get us a tax program that is pro-growth and get this pent-up energy that we have in America going again, so that our economy can create some growth. We have the poorest tax system for job creation of any of the industrialized nations. It's hard to believe. But in terms of our tax system, we tax the risk taker and the job creator more harshly than any of our friends. And it's no wonder that we're stuck at 8% plus. I guess some numbers may come out Friday of this week. They cannot be good. And I tell you what, if the American people are willing to settle for chronic 8.5%, unemployment, then it's not the country that I grew up with.
Well, Senator Wicker, I think you left us basically. You're saying our backs are up against the wall. If we won't get rid of Obamacare, there's only one way to do it: make sure to U.S. Senate goes into Republican hands majority and making sure a Republican goes into the White House. Is that
That's correct.
That's what you're saying. That's the really the only good news we could see, if the American people will react to what the reality is on the ground and make some changes in November.
That's right. Every cloud has a silver lining, and it's hard to see one this week. but if we if there is one, it's that the giant has been awakened and the people can rise up and change the direction.
Well, Senator Wicker, you have a happy birthday.
Thank you
for taking time to speak with us. And I know you're in the middle of a re-election campaign, so good luck in all your endeavors there.
Appreciate it. Thank you much.
Thank you. And that was United States Senator Roger Wicker, and we're glad he came on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Couple nuggets from last week, this week's show. Number one, he said it. We are going to be a European socialist country if we don't turn this thing around on November 6th. We've got to get out and vote. And he said Obamacare, if we don't stop it November 6th, it will have left the station. We've got to stop it in its tracks before that train leaves the station. And that's why you got to listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics every week. Because it's right here that we are going to tell you what you need to do to make sure we get this nation turned around November 6th. In just a minute, we're going to have this week's Tombstone of the Week Award. It's going to go to United States Senator Dianne Feinstein from California. And we're going to tell you exactly why and what she said. Before we do, let me remind you that I do have a book, and it's called Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can go to GetObamaOutNow.com. You can pick up your copy. You can read the first chapter for free. Go there and check it out. I got some poetry, got some new poems up. So check out all that and make sure that you're excited about this election. I'm going to get you excited if you go to the website and pick out some of the poems to read and get this book and get them for your friends. Get them for your liberal friends. They need to know why Barack Obama needs to get out now. And listen, this week's Tombstone of the Week Award, it's coming up, and I told you who it's going to, Dianne Feinstein, Senator from California, because you know what she said? She said the leaks, we're talking about the national security leaks that we know have been coming out of Washington, D.C., and she said it looks like they're coming out of the White House. And what happened? She got taken to the woodshed, folks. When has this happened before? Well, remember a couple months ago, Mayor Booker from New Jersey said something that the Obama team did not like. And he got taken to the woodshed. He came back and had to put something on YouTube, just a flat-out apology, basically. And who else? You remember I talked to you last month about former President Bill Clinton. He said we ought to go ahead and just extend all the Bush tax cuts. Whoa, that was not supposed to be said. This did not go along with the Obama reelection team. And guess what? They took the former president to the woodshed, and they gave him a licking, I guess, because he came out and said he had made a mistake. He was wrong. Bill Clinton himself said that, and I guarantee you, he's still mad about that, and he ain't going to forget it. I just used that good old Southern language since he's from Arkansas. He ain't going to forget it. And I think they're going to pay a price for taking him to the woodshed. But now, basically what it is, if you're a Democrat, you don't have freedom of speech in the United States of America. The Constitution says you got freedom of speech, but you don't as long as Barack Obama and his administration is in control. They are controlling the Democrats. And look, they've been controlling us and all kind of things. So socialism, if you want a student loan, no, you can't go to a bank. You got to go to the government now. They've taken that away. General Motors been socialized. And industry after industry, now the medical industry and Obamacare. And we saw the banking where all kind of things have been put in, just making it like a socialist system. And we are going to European socialism if we don't turn this thing around. And I'm telling you, even the Democrats ought to recognize, they ought to connect the dots, because you can't say what you want to say. You get a call from the White House or from the reelection team, and they say, walk down the plank, and you turn around, and this is what you need to say. I don't know how they do it, but they take their own people to the woodshed. That's control. That's a freaky kind of control. And that's exactly why we can't allow this administration to go on after November 6th. I can't even hesitate to even think about the way they want to control things. And you look at the way they're doing to their own people, their own friends. Now, that's this week's Tombstone of the Week Award, and it goes to Senator Feinstein from California. And she said it looked like the leaks came out of the White House, she had to say this. This is her statement that she went to the woodshed, and this is what she came back and said. Quote, I stated that I did not believe the president leaked classified information. I shouldn't have speculated beyond that, because the fact of the matter is I don't know the source of the leaks, end quote. But she'd already said she looked like they came out of the White House, but she had to backtrack and say, I don't know the source of the leaks. Now, she's not telling a lie, but they cut it off when she could have gone on and said it, but they came out of the White House. Well, that's this week's Tombstone of the Week Award. You're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, and that's the very reason why the most important four words of 2012 all across America is, the words are, getobamaoutnow.com. Go there, check it out. Next week, we have K. Carl Smith. You don't know who he is? Well, K. Carl Smith is going to tell us about what it means to be a Frederick Douglass Republican. If you don't know what that's about, be sure to listen next week. See you then.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.